Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. BYU down the Red Raiders and their third-string QB, with the defense notching 5 turnovers and the offense finally having some semblance of a run game. Now on to the 7th-ranked Longhorns with, yet again, another backup quarterback. For today's roundtable discussion, we have supervising sports producer for BYU TV, Ben Bagley. What's up, Ben?
What is going on? Happy to be here as always.
And former Cougar defensive back Brian Logan. What's up, B-Lo?
What's good?
Thanks for being here, gents. Okay, it's time for our hot off the grill takes on BYU football this week. But before we do, I have an important question for both of you. Ben, is Texas barbecue overrated or underrated?
Depends who's cooking.
Okay.
Because this is you're speaking my wheelhouse.
Right.
I love barbecue, all things barbecue. I'd smoke that. You look at Texas barbecue. I have been to barbecue joints in Texas where it's really good, and I've been to some bad ones. Last week, I was in Kansas City for Basketball Media Day. Went to a place called Q39, Andy Reid's favorite barbecue joint in Kansas City. And I took the first bite of brisket. It was Texas-style brisket, and I stopped, and I heard angels sing. And that was in Kansas City. There's been a couple places in Texas I've gone. I will be at the game this weekend, so I will be hitting up a couple of those places in Austin and learning some new experiences. It is not overrated if it's done right.
You know, Andy Reid.
It's the one thing Texans are over braggadocious about.
is their barbecue. You know, if Andy Reid approves, it's going to be good. Yeah.
Trust a fat man when it comes to food.
What about you, B-Lo? Overrated or underrated Texas barbecue? And have you had it?
I don't think I have.
You've never had it?
Nope, I don't think so.
Well, you got to make that happen.
I'm very picky. I eat like 5 things. So
which are chicken?
Gushers,
fruit. lately I've been eating fruit roll-ups, the Jolly Ranchers kind.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah. And then I eat like eggs and bacon.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, and there are worse things, I guess.
I guess that's yeah.
I'm gonna have to say Texas barbecue sounds a lot better than what you eat. My husband grew up in Houston, and so I've been to like Torchy's Tacos. I've been to all these places.
He's
never taken me to Texas barbecue. Let's blame it on my husband.
You have that too? See, I don't.
I've had Torchy's.
I don't even. This is all foreign to me.
Well,
Velvet Taco may be better than Torchy's. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. Had that in Oklahoma a couple weeks ago. It was really good.
I've only had like Bam Bams. That's
Texas style barbecue.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then, you know what? I like it.
All right. Now that we're all hungry. I do like it. Yeah. Totally underrated. Let's get to our hot takes on BYU football right now. Ben Bagley, let's start with you.
Okay. Let's go.
What's your hot take on BYU football?
No, that's it.
I'm going to start. Here's my hot take. BYU will not get blown out by Texas. Having Aiden Robbins back gives BYU another look in the run game. Hopefully they got a spark of confidence and they're capable of running the ball. BYU's defense knows how to create turnovers, and I think they get into the head of the backup quarterback, Malik Murphy. BYU's offense slows down when they have the lead, and I think, or I hope, they'll keep the pedal to the metal in a close game, which I think this will be. So I'm not saying that I think BYU's going to win this game. I think it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people might think. There is my hot take.
Okay, coming off of that hot take, let's see. My hot take is about this weekend is the BYU defense coming off of 2 weeks in a row where I think one sack over the last 2 games is all, maybe one. I may even be plus one on that one. 5 sacks. 5 sacks against Texas.
Okay.
You got a backup QB. I think you're going to see more blitzing from Jay Hill. There wasn't a lot of blitzing in the last 2 games. They really kind of dropped up with the run and shoot. But I think you're going to put a lot of pressure on the backup quarterback, and that's where it is. So 5 sacks, that's my hot take.
All right. B-Lo, what do you think?
If BYU is positive in the turnover margin, they'll win the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That actually is pretty bold. I guess that's how it's been up to this point in the season, right? If they have been,
that's a very data driven statement, because you look at the stats, especially like from an offense standpoint, and they're just not good, you know. And even the defense at times has struggled, and stats really don't reflect it. But there's one stat that does, and that's turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because we always, as analysts and fans and you know players of the game, we say turnover margin, right? Like, what's the keys of the game? Turnover margin. I think this is the first time I've had like this sobering feeling about it, because BYU and the stats, how their season has played out, literally proves that stat is right. Mm-hmm. You can suck in everything else and still win games if you're positive in turnover margin. I think BYU, the defense is like number three in the nation right now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, well, how do you don't have a running game? Your offensive efficiency is not great. You know, you're I don't want to say you're dead last in a lot of categories, but you're close. But yet you're 5-2.
Yeah.
You know, turnover margin, I think is I would say playing out, you know, in front of our faces, you know, during the season.
Yeah, it is huge, and I feel like something else that BYU is not dead last in is their special teams and punting specifically. And I feel like that's one of the keys too. Isn't that interesting? Turnover margins and then having the field placement advantage there.
I just want to put special teams and turnover margins, bringing it together in a cohesive thing. How many teams in the nation, Brian, have had their long snapper and punter both recover fumbles this year?
I would say
one.
I don't know the answer. I'd probably say one. BYU.
I would. You know what? Here's another hot take. I would say on all levels, Pee Wee, high school, junior college, professionals, only one.
Yeah.
That's rare to happen.
Yes. I was so happy for Ryan Rico. I could not believe that bounce into his hands after all that.
You know,
get
you
some
know,
yards, buddy. You need them.
You know what's funny? So, you know, we watched the game.
Yeah.
And you were there. And when that happened, somebody, I think it was Austin Colley, was like, oh, man, he must be living right.
The ball, ding, right in his hand. That sounds like an Austin Colley quote right there. All right, let's get to our fan question. With Texas QB Quinn Ewers out, on a scale from 1 to 10, what is your confidence level heading into Saturday's game? Here are some of the responses. Brian on X said, backup QBs make me very nervous, which makes sense, seeing that BYU has not done that well against backup QBs. Aaron Stoneman on X said, 5 out of 10 due to our stats this year. We have the potential to do well against teams. However, we always seem to be mediocre and barely squeeze out 5 wins. It's always up in the air with backup QBs starting. We could have 5 turnovers or make the QB look like Joe Montana. Mm. Mark M on X said, 1. On a scale of 1 to 10, he's saying 1. Too many unknowns on offense from week to week. If D steps up and gets 5-plus turnovers again, then I might bump that up to 4. If they get 5 turnovers, that guy's not even above 5. Terry Christiansen on X said, is Taysom in Texas this week to play? If so, 10. Otherwise, I'm between 3 and 4.5, depending on how many turnovers the D can produce. Crispy Nick on X said, still low, like 3 out of 10. Wyatt Jensen on Instagram said, 10 Cougs own Texas. All right, Brian, what do you think on a scale from 1 to 10 with the quarterback out? What's your confidence level?
Like 8.
It's an 8?
Yeah, it's
an 8. That high?
Yeah.
After you were just like, the offense is terrible, the defense is okay, but you're an 8 going on the road to number 7 Texas.
Yeah,
why is that?
Turnovers. You know, BYU, they produce turnovers. It's like what I said. If they produce the turnovers, then if we were guaranteed like 3 turnovers, or let's say we were, you know, +2 in turnover margin, I'd probably say 10. I'd be that positive. The games that BYU lost, they you know, were even in turnover margin. You know,
just that simple. It's coming down to that for you.
It is that simple because. I'm like, if you look at the stats, it's mind blowing. If you covered BYU's record, and I saw the stats, I'd be like, oh, they probably won 2 games.
No, absolutely.
And the turnover margin, right? If you cover those, I'd be like, oh, they won 2, maybe 3 games.
They are surprising 5-2. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, That says something about the team because they're overcoming every stat that tells you they shouldn't be 5-2 to be 5-2.
Exactly.
So a lot of credit to the coaching staff for carrying that, because that's it doesn't matter how you win and lose. Nobody remembers how ugly it was. Nope. Next season, nobody's going to look back and, well, that win was ugly. No, they see the W. That's all they see. That's what's important. And they're finding ways to do it. But they're also placing Texas in Austin at Darrell K. Royal.
Yeah, over 100,000 fans.
Yeah, I've been there to a game. It's pretty impressive. I'm looking forward to being there again this weekend. It's still going to be impressive. Get my selfie with Bevo, me and Bevo hanging out in the end zone. But I'll tell you what, confidence level going into this game, we talk about a backup quarterback. Malik Murphy, redshirt freshman, 6'5",
yeah, he's 238. Big. He's a big boy.
Yeah. He's massive.
Anyone that's in Texas, you know, he was highly recruited too.
And
to
a
get
four-star,
there.
A yeah. four-star recruit. This, I mean, we're not. It's not like we're facing. I don't want to throw any. Someone under the,
yeah,
it's
we,
not
we,
like
we're
facing. I don't know. Just you know, the yeah. back that ex-backup quarterback that stinks. This is actually a very talented, athletic young man. Now, has he faced the live fire of facing a live defense in a game? That's where we're going to see more about the mental makeup, and that's where I'm curious. But as far as your confidence level going in, my confidence level, I'd say a 4. Like I don't have a lot of confidence. Texas is really good. They're a top 5 team in the top 10 team in the country for a reason. Mm-hmm. They are good. They have talent. Now, I go 4, as high as 4, because BYU has a tendency to step up and surprise some folks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially folks that wear burnt orange, and there's some scar tissue there. So I give BYU a puncher's chance in this game.
Chris Beto on IG said, 4, we have a tendency to make backup QBs look like Steve Young. Okay, but let's talk about that for a second, because you look back. Remember when Tanner Mangum came in against Nebraska? Mm-hmm. You know, he was off his mission, but he was still a freshman. He looked so good. I feel like these freshmen play like they got nothing to lose. They're like, we're the backup quarterbacks. We don't have as much pressure on us than the starting guy. And so, and that happened, you know, with all these teams that BYU have played, TCU, Texas Tech, even though Texas Tech, that quarterback didn't do that well.
Didn't look like a Steve Young.
No, he definitely didn't look like a Steve Young. But, Brian, do you think there's something to that where these freshmen come in and they're like, I don't have that weight on my shoulders the starting quarterback did. So they just kind of play out of their minds.
Yeah, definitely. So I started my professional career outside of this in sales. And whenever somebody new in sales comes into the industry, they kill it because they don't use like the sales tactics and they're not overthinking. They just are having conversations. So it's not until, you know, after they become a vet where they start making those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it's the same thing with a lot of freshmen, specifically at quarterback, right? It's like what you said, there's nothing to lose. They just, you know, were at prom, you know, 6 months ago. I feel like the stage probably, you know, they're just like, oh my gosh, this is 100,000 people. Like they're not sitting there thinking like, you know, somebody who, you know, maybe is a junior or a senior that's saying, you know what, oh, my draft stocks, you know, on the line, I need to improve in this area, I need to do this. You know, I think it's less overthinking.
The coach is probably not saying the same things to him as he's saying to the other guy. He's kind of saying like, hey, just, you know, do your best, man. Do your best, win the game. I mean, of course, with Texas, I mean, they have a lot on the line right now. They have a lot as much as any team in the Big 12.
That's the difference with the pressure. With this backup, it's, look, don't lose this game.
Yeah,
that's
lose the game.
You don't got to win it, but don't lose it.
Texas still has a shot for the college football playoff,
right?
Exactly.
But they can't lose another game because they lost to Oklahoma. Right. They can't. They've got their eye is solely on get to the Big 12 championship game, beat Oklahoma this time.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, probably should have beat Oklahoma the first time. They're probably more talented. They're the most talented team in the Big 12.
Yeah,
in the country.
So yeah, Michigan might argue that, but you look at it. Like, they need this game. They're eye on the prize. We want the college football playoff, which means we got to go through Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah. So maybe
the difference, I feel like, with TCU is it's a you had a redshirt freshman.
Right.
You know, this backup is a redshirt freshman. Last week, Texas Tech was a true freshman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
He was getting rave reviews in spring ball. Like they were talking whether it was going to be him or Quinn and Ewers getting the starting role.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
Through spring ball, they loved him.
Yeah, and you know, anytime a player, so with player development, where you really take the next step in your development is during install. And install is fall camp and spring ball. So as a if you're a true freshman coming in, you have fall camp, right? Then you have spring ball, right? Let's say that's your red shirt, you know, year, and you know, then you have another install in fall camp. So you have this guy has multiple installs, just like TCU's quarterback. So he's been in the system, right? The college life has settled down, right? First time away from home is not a big deal anymore,
yeah.
Right? You know, he's used to. You know, friends, his environment, the city, you know, he knows where to go get groceries. He knows where to go get a haircut. You know what I mean? Like
things
have settled.
He's settled in.
It's huge. Yeah. He's settled in versus Texas, you know, Texas Tech last week, with the quarterback, he's like, oh, this is my fourth city I've ever been in. You know what I'm saying? Like
he's still wearing Hello, My Name Is.
Yes. Seriously.
The third string quarterback.
Hey, I just want one real quick question, Brian. As a former D1 defensive back, I mean, pretty good. Really, you're a really good ball player.
All right.
People didn't throw at you very often because you intimidated. If 6'5", 235, Malik Murphy breaks the line of scrimmage, gets to the second level, you making a business decision?
Oh, it depends. It depends. If he's depending on the angle he's coming at me, if he's coming at me at a 45-degree angle,
you're slapping an ankle.
I'm getting blocked. No. So I used to say like go miss the tackle, right? But film it just makes it look you. It's better for a DB when you make a business decision to get blocked than it is to like go and act like you're gonna make a tackle
and just let him go by.
Yeah, and go by. Now if he's coming up the field just at a 90-degree angle, I'll go make a tackle because then you know he's probably not gonna see me. I could put my helmet across his hip and I'm good. But and the chances of me getting hurt on that type of tackle, it's very slim. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's all just hope for Arch Manning. Let's all hope for Arch Manning to be playing.
He's been taking first team reps this week as well.
Yeah, they'll both play.
Yeah, we'll see them both on Saturday.
That's gonna be fun. At this point, for me, the Cougars are who they are. I don't think we'll see anything drastically different. I know each week, especially in offense, you're like, all right, what are we gonna see this week? And nothing has changed that much. The defense can create turnovers. This is what we know. The defense is hungry. The offense lives off of big plays, and big plays can sometimes win you games. The offense is great in the red zone. They're 21 for 23 on scoring opportunities inside the red zone, so if they get great field position from the defense, they have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, that's literally why they've been winning.
I'll be honest. I think this game may come down. I don't want to simplify the game down to one thing, but I'm going to anyways. Is I heard Kalani post game Texas Tech. He reiterated it on Monday's media. Also in the coach's show on BYU TV, talked about need to do better on third downs.
Yeah.
Need to do better on third downs. I'm going to say Kalani's wrong. You need to do better on second long.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Like you can't give yourself third and longs every single time,
right.
And that's what BYU's done all season long. Just getting yards on second down to where third down's not an insurmountable task,
yeah.
Where you're like, okay, let's just try to get some yards here and punt, or just don't turn the ball over, don't do anything stupid. Second down, I think, has been just the bugaboo for BYU this year on offense.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You know, you win on third downs on first and second down, and in the first half, BYU was 40% on third down conversion. Second half was 20%, and in the second half. Their average third down it was 3rd and 9.
Yeah,
so
that's
tough. You can see how the
yeah, that's easy to defend.
Oh, it's yeah. So we'll and you know with the running game you know struggling, you saw A-Rod switch it up a little bit. There was a lot more quick you know passes on first second down in the first half, and it made you know those third downs much more manageable. And there was actually less third down conversion opportunities, right? Because they were just getting first downs. And so for whatever reason, they went away from that in the second half, and that was driving me crazy. Like literally it was driving me crazy. But You probably heard me. I was booing, actually. It was, you know. I was like, boo.
You can't start the boo.
Oh,
no,
I was
team.
Mad. I was so hot. But anyway, like, yeah, like you're right. And I think the formula for success for this BYU offense with a struggling running game is the first half of the Texas Tech game. It's that simple.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll play buy or sell Texas style. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain alongside Ben Bagley and Brian Logan. Everything is bigger in Texas, as they say. DKR Memorial Stadium has over 100,000 seats. University of Texas has over 53,000 students. And as per usual, this game is at 3:30 Eastern Time, ABC, and it is the game of the week. Brian, as a player, nice. What's it like going into a big game like this, a big stadium? It's prime time, and all eyes are on you.
It's the best feeling in the world. It's hard to explain it. It's surreal at moments because, you know, you grow up watching Texas, USC, Florida, Miami, Florida State, Ohio State, and to have the spotlight on you, or I would say to have an opportunity to play against those brands is one thing, but then to know that, you know, you have the spotlight on you playing against those brands, it's no better feeling in the world. It's gives you a lot more motivated. You know what? Look, I don't care what nobody says. Like interviewing those players, and they're like, "Oh, this is just another game." No, it's not. 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 Because you know, when I played Wyoming or Colorado State, I went to class every day. I did my homework. You know, I was, you know, but like playing against Oklahoma or TCU or Utah, I wasn't going to class. I was doing homework. I was dialed in. You know, my girlfriends, I'm like, I can't talk to you guys this week.
Oh my gosh. Always week. Have to throw give in the girlfriends.
Give me a week. I can't talk to you guys. You know what I mean? Like that's I'm just
totally.
I'm focused. I'm in the training room. I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock every day. I'm waking up at 7 every day. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm that much more focused. And it, you know, I wish I was like that for every game. But it just for whatever reasons, you know, like the brand of the school and just the weight behind it, you just naturally are just, you know what, we got to pick this up. Let's step it up a little bit.
Ben, at this point in the season, do you think playing on the big stage is a helpful or hurtful thing for BYU?
There's a saying when I used to cover the NBA, they'd always talk about the playoffs. The saying was, playoffs are great because you're either going to get exposure or you're going to get exposed. Mm. And that's what this does. You're on national television, you're ABC, you're against Texas, so eyes are on because it's Texas. They are a legit playoff contender, so there's some big-time eyes trying to see if the Longhorns can make that run. BYU, you're on the clock. You're going to get watched on this. So that's what's that. I mean, that should bring in a little bit of nerves if you're the Cougars, because like, oh, let's not be on that other side of mm-hmm. the exposure thing. We want to be we don't get the exposure without being exposed. So it is a little bit nerve wracking for teams, I think. But I like what Brian said is like in covering and talking to players when they go into this is yes. In front of a live mic,
one
they're all going to say,
time.
Yes, it's another game. You get off the mic and you talk to him, you get just what Brian, I can't wait, this is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. DKR Stadium, the big drum that Texas brings out, Bevo, all this stuff. Like, it's hard not to get excited for this. I'm going to be there doing nothing on the sidelines, and I'm nervous and excited, so let's go.
You know, I remember Florida State 2010 when we went over there, and you know how they have the Seminole that's on the horse, and he goes mm-hmm. out. When that happened, you should have saw everybody got up off the bench.
Want to see it?
Just wanted to watch
staff,
it.
I'm talking about everybody, probably except for the coaches. And we probably walked out maybe 10 yards, right, onto the field, and we were like,
whoa.
Because we've been watching this our whole life, growing up, right? Yeah. And we're like, we get to see this in person. Oh, my gosh. Everybody's holding each other's hands like, oh, my God, oh, he did it. Oh, he did it. Oh, my gosh. And so, like, to Ben's point, like, you can't try to play us, you know, players. You're taught to To say that because of media training.
But why? Because that's so silly to me. Why can't you say, yeah, this is a huge game for us?
I always,
like, this
I
is
was,
big.
Look, I always was real about it. I always said stuff I probably shouldn't have. There's a couple times where Bronco had to go back and say, okay, you can't say these things, or you can't talk to anybody anymore. But I it's just...
you can't talk to anybody anymore?
I just being... Yeah, like the whole thing with Jake Heaps and Riley Nelson, that quarterback... controversy, and I was like, yeah, I want Jake to win. Like, yeah, you can't say that.
He's like, don't say that.
But yeah, we all know, like, deep down that it's an important game. I bet parents are trying to get tickets, right? I bet players are trying to sprint. Like, this is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Okay, let's play a quick game of buy or sell. If you like it, you buy it. If you don't, you sell it. Darius Lassiter is BYU's best offensive weapon. Darius currently has 23 receptions for 272 receiving yards, currently tied with Chase Roberts for the most receiving touchdowns. Ben, are you buying it or selling it?
I'm going to sell it. I think it's, and this is going to be such a cliche answer, it's Keaton Slovis, because he's kept that offense together in some tough times. Mm. And his superpower right now is not his arm. Yeah. It's not his athleticism. It's his mental wherewithal, being able to, even when things aren't going well and when he's getting heat from defensive lines and linebackers on blitzes, he's been pretty clean for the season. Now, it hasn't been spectacular. His numbers aren't going to wow you or anything, but I think he is the best offensive weapon because he's kind of grounded this team in his leadership.
B-Lo, are you buying it or selling it, Darius Lassiter?
I'm selling it.
Okay.
I think A-Rod is.
Ooh.
You see glimpses and you see flashes of how good they can be, how explosive they can be, when they're put in positions to be successful. And I think that's what's been a little frustrating, right? As fans, we're like, man, we know you can do this.
Yeah.
Like, so just do it consistently. And I believe that when you see glimpses and flashes, right? Of players doing it, I think the coaches can help them to be more consistent by, you know, calling those same type of plays. And so, and when you look at A-Rod and all the players that have been, you know, through his system, I mean, they've been successful. You have, you know, Zach and Jaron and, you know, a number of offensive linemen. So it's clear that his system works because multiple players have been successful in it. So I'd say A-Rod.
All right, outside of A-Rod and Keaton Slovis, I'm going to buy it. I think he's so hot right now, as they say. I think Chase Roberts and Isaac Rex are huge weapons for BYU, and it changes from game to game which guy is the best receiver on offense. But I think Darius Lassiter has the edge right now. All right, number two, are we buying it or selling it? Aiden Robbins should be BYU's starting running back. Ben.
I'm buying stock in Aiden Robbins,
okay,
but I'm selling this comment. he's just coming. No, seriously, buy stock in him right now. I think maybe two games out, yes, but this is his second full game back. I think that there's been enough groundwork laid. He'll get more and more reps. You can tell me whether starter matters or not, but I think you're going to see a lot more of him. I just don't think he starts.
Last season, Robbins had over 1,000 rushing yards for UNLV, and BYU has been lacking a much-needed power back all season. He came back from his time off with a decent performance against Texas Tech. So, what do you think, B-Lo?
Yeah, I'm with Ben. I think Cody Epps is a good example. When he came back, he still, you know, we say guys have mission legs.
Yeah,
you know, guys have injury legs, right?
Yeah, yes.
Sure. When if you come back, you still have to get your legs up and running. You still have to get the game speed and game fatigue. You have to get all of those things worked out, and it takes a couple of weeks for it to happen. So, like Ben said, I'd bet a lot that in a few weeks, once he gets those game legs back, he will start, but just not right now.
Yeah, buy stock.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Buying stock in him. I sell it too. LJ Martin has carried a huge load for BYU and had that huge 55-yard run against Texas Tech last week. I think he's strong. He's definitely still learning. And I love the 1-2 punch of he and Aiden Robbins. And who knows? I totally agree with what you guys said. Who knows in a few games what's going to happen? I think LJ Martin has been phenomenal for a freshman coming in, taking the entire load of the run game from game one. Okay, buy or sell, BYU pulls off a miracle and defeats Texas in Austin. Even with viewers out, Vegas has Texas favored by 17.5 points against the Cougars. Are you buying that the Cougars recreating that magical night in Austin in 2014 can happen? Ben?
No.
That's sorry. A hard sell, huh?
Hard pass on that one. Yeah, no, sorry. I love the optimism. Do I want BYU to win? Yes, it's a great story. BYU Sports Nation will be awesome on Monday when it happens.
When?
I'm also a realist.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, yeah. B-Lo?
I'm buying.
I knew it. I knew you were going to buy it.
I'm buying. I mean,
what's like, your reason?
It's the turnovers.
Yeah,
that's what it comes. Like, I sound like a broken record, man. But really analyzing, and looking at everything turnovers.
Yeah,
turnovers. You look at the NFL and you look at the undefeated teams that lost. You know, last week with the Niners, which is my team, by the way, and the Eagles. Right, like turnovers.
Right,
you know, losing
huge.
Losing the teams that it's in every level. Losing the teams that you shouldn't, how does that happen? With turnovers. So if BYU, who is third in the nation and you know, forcing turnovers, if they can do that, I'm buying.
I see where this is going.
I'm buying.
You're buying. Lauren's going to buy. I'm going to be the bad guy here. I see where this is going.
No,
go ahead.
No, you're not. No. Look. We don't judge. We just pray.
Hey.
We just pray. We don't judge. We just pray.
You better pray for me, too, because it's a hesitant sell. I'm selling.
Oh.
I am. As a betting woman, you got to go with Texas. Everything points that way. As a fan, I'm going to go with the Cougars. I've seen them do it once, many times, actually, and I think they can do it again.
As a fan, I'm buying.
As a betting woman, I'm selling.
You know what else is going against that 5-2 record? Everything else is going against that 5-2
exactly.
record.
I will tell you this, though. I'm not buying the Cougars to win, but if I was a betting man, I'd have them cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be a 17-point game.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Okay, this one will be really quick. Buy or sell. BYU finishes the season with a winning record. BYU is currently 5-2. They only need two more wins this season to have a winning season in their first year in the Power 5. You buying it or selling it?
I'll buy that. Yeah. Okay. I think there's still improvement to be done, and there's still time to do it. And they've already set themselves up to do it. So, yeah, I'll buy.
You know, last time I came, I said, what, nine wins, right? I think a bold take. I see it now more than ever.
Ben shaking his head, no.
Including the bowl win.
Wow. Yeah. You're still hanging on tight to that. BYU, as the media says, could be the worst 5-2 team in the country.
Exactly.
And you're saying they get to
look,
nine.
Less fruit by the foot over there, buddy.
I actually need more.
Jolly Rancher flavor.
But, you know, Yeah, they're the worst in a lot of categories because of that. But the turnovers, dang, man, I almost cussed just now. The turnovers. They're third in the nation.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that crazy how turnovers, like, literally.
It's the one stat.
It's like Jesus on the cross. It wipes away everything. Yeah. That was a good.
I'm buying it. I think they're going to somehow eke out two more wins. I don't know where it's going to be, but I think they'll do it. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Ben Bagley and Brian Logan for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Cleon Wall. You can join the Cougar Delegate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.